as followers of Jesus Christ, would be good to take an example from there. In the book of Acts, and let's look first at chapter 17, verse 2. Now this is his pattern. It says, then Paul, as his custom was, went into them, and for 3 Sabbaths, reason with them from the scriptures. Now this is the Apostle Paul. He doesn't ask people to just believe. He reasoned with them. And we need to understand that God doesn't just want to get rid of them, our mind. He wants to renew our mind. He wants to cause our minds to be transformed so that we could reason with more things involved. It's just like a mathematician. If all you know is algebra, your reasoning will only be in that scale. But if you know algebra and analytical algebra and geometrical algebra, and you know calculus, then your reasoning will include that and cover this bigger circle, and you could define things in a bigger scale and bring forth more proofs for your theorems. So that is what we call the reason we preach like that is this. Too many Christians are afraid of intellectual endeavors. And sadly, among them are charismatics. A whole majority. See, the charismatic move has the Holy Spirit and understand things of the Spirit. But many charismatics are not good testimonies to either evangelicals or non-charismatic, because the charismatic tend to be so emotional and so developed in their emotions that they don't develop their intellect. Yes, they love God and they worship until the tears run down from their eyes. But then, when it comes to the intellectual development of the Word of God, it looks like there were no tears running from their brain. Whereas on the evangelical side, you could see that they love the area. And some of them could never cry. They need to learn from the charismatics. And that's why we see that in the last days, we need to combine both the Spirit and the Word. And be able to, when we worship God, to not be ashamed of our emotions, but be able to cry. At the same time, we are not ashamed of our intellect. Many charismatics are ashamed of the intellect. That would be the same reaction as the evangelicals being ashamed of the emotion. So we need a balance in Christianity. And many Christians or charismatics are afraid of studies, afraid of universities, afraid of going further in intellectual studies. Why should there be a fear? What about Daniel? Daniel didn't just study the Bible. Daniel had to study all the teaching of the Chaldeans. We need to be balanced. Put it this way. If you have the truth, you won't be afraid. You'll be able to understand further. And so, this will encourage many of you who are perhaps in the area of studying or trying to pursue further. In the book of Daniel, chapter 1, look at some of the things that Daniel had to study. They are all non-Christian. His subjects, I mean, that he had to study. Verse 4. And they chose young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. Look, he has to learn a new language, and he has to learn all the literature of the Chaldeans. Much of it. And Paul, in his ministry, always emphasized reasoning with the scriptures. Let me just read another example. Acts 19, verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. Look, he reasoned. To reason is to use the intellectual part of his soul. But he was a spirit-filled man. So this is a pattern where we say that there are two types of reasoning. One, the higher reasoning that comes from a transformed mind. The other, the lower reasoning that comes from the base passions and fleshly nature. Excuses. It's whether you are giving excuses or you're bringing forth reasons for faith. So in the book of Haggai reasons with them in verse 4, chapter 1. He says, if you say that it is not time to build the Lord's house, then how is it that it's time to build your own houses? That's a very good, reasonable statement. And throughout this book, he reasons with them. You look at how Haggai's preaching. Haggai looks like a businessman who was turned on to the Lord, called by God in the prophetic office, and he speaks like one. In fact, it says that this book is special in that it looks like a dialogue. The way he approaches is like a businessman approaching people with the word of God. He says here in verse 2 and verse 3, in chapter 2, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? How do you see it now? See, there was a question and answer dialogue. In comparison with it, is it not in your eyes as nothing? And then he said, no, it will not be nothing. It will be more glorious. And that is his approach throughout this book. As he continued looking at his approach in verse 12, verse 11 and 12, chapter 2, thus says the Lord of hosts, now ask the priest concerning the law, saying, if one carries holy meat in the fold of his garment, and with the edge he touches bread or stew, wine or oil or any food, will it become holy? The priest answered, no. And verse 13, Haggai says, if one is unclean because of a dead body, touches any of these, will it become unclean? The priest answered, it shall be unclean. And then verse 14, Haggai said, then all of you are unclean. And then he said, yet, he says, the Lord will bring blessing on you. Just to show them the extent of the Lord's grace. So we had to dwell on that area, on the reasoning, because this book is very distinct in the approach. It is unlike any other prophetic books. And that is why we say that when God anoints you, it will and it may flow through your personality too. Of course, there is a small little addition to that, in that your personality may change by being in His presence. And that means that as you change, the flow of God's word to you also can be changing. And so here, Haggai, it looks like a secular man suddenly called into the ministry of God. And he takes that dialogue approach in his ministry, unlike any others. Which is why I'm glad to see many types of ministry that God raised up today. And sometimes charismatic and evangelicals go against people like Robert Schuller. And I sometimes travel and hear people running this. And some are saying how wonderful he is, he reached more people. Some are saying, oh, he compromised and all these things. But all of them never read his biography. I say, have you ever read his full books? Have you ever read how he started that way? No. So I told them how he started because I read his biography. It didn't actually came out in Bible. It came out in one of his articles, how he was sharing how he started his ministry. He actually started like any other preacher, using Bible language, using language of propitiation of sin, the justification by faith, sanctification by the Holy Ghost, predestination for everybody. He started like every other preacher who spoke Bible language, until something started happening in his life, and he was sincere about winning souls. He wanted to find out why people are not coming to know the Lord the way they should. And you know what he did before he started his ministry? He went knocking house to house, not to share the false preacher law or to witness. He went knocking and he asked these people, he says, you look like a very nice person. I just want to know, he says, why a normal, nice person like you is not interested in Christianity? And they gave him all kinds of answers, and he took notes. He took notes. And from his big survey, and it was for him a learning experience, he wanted to find out why they were not even interested. And from there, he began to develop his methods. Among those things, he understood that, number one, the people out there who have never stepped into the church don't understand church terminology. They don't understand things, even like the word repentance. Born again may be a catchphrase, but it's not fully defined. Now, not everybody may have his style of ministry, but God is the Spirit of God that lays on the hearts of different people, different things, so that there are different instruments going out to reach the gospel to the world. And that's how he began, quote unquote, to like invent his method. And he began to preach the gospel in a way that no other preacher ever preached. To us, when we look at him from the church sense, it looks diluted. But to the world, he preached a message of hope, of courage. And then he speaks about Jesus in the end, how he comes from Jesus. And we praise God that God is raising up many different types of ministry, different temperaments, and God needs all kinds. You need the very, very fierce type. Maybe to frighten a few fellows. And then you need the very, very mild type. And then you need the very, very hot type. And then you need the very, very cool type. It reaches different groups of people. If you ever pastor a church any time, like I pastor a church, and we realize there's so many personalities, and so sometimes different speakers, I like to listen to what people are saying. So sometimes to get a feedback, sometimes a speaker comes and it's a fiery preacher, and I try to find out, what do you think? How do you like the ministry? And I ask the people on an individual basis, how do you think about him? And I find that some of those who were never touched by the cool ones were just hot up by this preacher, and they got turned on to God. Then others who got offended at this hot preacher who stamps his feet while he preach, jumps all over the pulpit, shakes the microphone, and screams at the top of his voice. And some of those cool fellows are very offended. I don't like this preacher. But they're in the congregation. Then we bring along a cool preacher who never moves beyond his 1 square foot and just speaks the word. And then that cool fellow out there in the congregation got touched. And he said, "My, that's wonderful." But then we asked the other fellow who was touched by the jumpy preacher, and he said, "How do you think?" He said, "Oh yeah, not so nice lah." But then the cool chap says, "Fantastic. This is what we must have." So you can understand that the life of a pastor can be quite interesting. It's not easy to minister to all kinds. They say birds of a feather flock together, but they didn't tell you the other part of Proverbs. There are many types of birds. So, we have here Haggai with his style of preaching. And remember this, that principles are the same, but styles need to be developed. If God calls you to the ministry, or some of you who are beginning to go into some form of ministry, whether you're called or not, learn from all you can the principles, but develop your own styles. Do not copy another person's style, because the anointing is not on the style. The anointing is on the principle. When the person fulfilled the principle and did it in his style, the anointing works. But when you don't understand the principle and copy the style, it's just like copying the shell without the engine or the inside.